Well, we're talking about the auto industry and how it is creaking in places like Detroit and other places around the United States. With markets in so much turmoil, economic issues have landed smack in the middle of congressional races all across the country. Joining us on the line now is Congressman Tom Cole, Republican from Oklahoma, is chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee, which is a political committee devoted to increasing the number of Republicans in Congress. He certainly has his fingers on the pulse of congressional races around the country. Tom Cole, thanks for joining us.
You bet, John.
So, Congressman, let's take the auto example for a minute. How is the teetering auto industry affecting congressional races in places like Detroit or even farther south in the non-union auto zone of like Kentucky and Tennessee?
Well, certainly in the northern states, it's hurting quite a bit. And a bad economy, the perception of one, I think, tends to help, it tends to help Senator Obama, tends to help Democrats broadly. Strangely enough, in other parts of the country, it's a little bit less of a problem simply because so much of the auto industry that is non-American, honestly, is doing pretty well. And so when you move into the Kentuckys and the Alabamas, places like that that have pretty substantial auto presence now, those factories are turning out cars, doing well, and actually I think you'll see, strangely enough, McCain do pretty well in those kind of regions. So it's a very nuanced pattern. But overall, the economy helps the Democrats.
But it's not as though in those states where foreign automakers are building in American districts, it's not a case that the economy favors the Republicans. It's just the fact that it's a non-issue favors Republicans.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Right. Well, let's talk about North Carolina. North Carolina is certainly a Republican stronghold, whether you're talking about electoral votes for president or, race for senator. The Wachovia situation is right smack dab in the middle of North Carolina. It's been acquired by Wells Fargo. The banking crisis is all over North Carolina. How does that affect races that you're watching?
Well, North Carolina is pretty competitive at the presidential and senatorial level right now, but frankly, we don't see much competition congressionally. The Democrats that are in Democratic districts are in pretty safe condition. Same's true of the Republicans, but broadly speaking, in North Carolina, much more competitive than normal, but it just hasn't reached into the districts. The districts, given reapportionment, are pretty strongly aligned toward one party or the other. So it's just not that critical a congressional battlefield this year.
Seems to me you have an interesting challenge. I mean, John McCain has already said, I am not George W. Bush. And he said that at the debates, and he's sort of signaled through his surrogates that that's a mission that he has to accomplish at the upcoming debate on Wednesday. John Sununu, in trying to describe himself as separate from George Bush, claims that he votes with New Hampshire, that he's not a Republican or a Democrat. He's voting 100% for New Hampshire. How do you design messages for congressional candidates who have to distance themselves from the incumbent president?
Well, it's interesting for us because we don't think of the world state by state or region by region. We think of it district by district. And there's certainly broad stretches of the country where the president's not popular. And candidates need to take that into account. Usually, though, congressional candidates know their electorate with more intimacy than senators, let alone presidential candidates. You literally can reach most of the people in a very direct way.
So is it easier for a congressional candidate to distance themselves from a president than, say,
a
senator?
It's easier for them to develop their own identity. Now, you've got to have enough money to break through. Again, a lot of it depends on your media market. If you're in a relatively, easy district in terms of one media market, that's great. But if you're one member in Los Angeles where there's multiple districts and you can't afford television, or if you've got multiple media markets because your district sprawls, your problem becomes different. So it's a technical problem. But, there's parts of the country where the president's very popular. If you're running in Houston, Texas, in which there's a very competitive race down there, you don't need to distance yourself from the president. If you're running in Alabama where there's two open seats, one Republican, one Democrat, the president of the United States visiting would be a great advantage.
If you voted for the bailout, is that good for you as a Republican congressman or bad for you in the election?
Speaking as somebody who did vote for what I'll call the rescue plan, it was a tough vote. The calls in our district ran overwhelmingly against it, and I don't know of any member, Republican or Democrat, whose calls were not negative. On the other hand, You know, I think it's a conscience vote, and I think you get points over the long term for people seeing you do the tough thing. And particularly if this works out, looks a little bit better this morning than it did last Monday morning, you know, people like to see decisive action at a time of crisis. And so at the end of the day, I think you just vote what you believe, and you can go home and argue it either way and usually do pretty well. But there's no question voting for this was not a popular thing to do in any district in America that I'm aware of.
Well, you took a principled stand on the rescue, but were there any districts, or are there any districts, where a double no vote was absolutely essential for the Republican to retain his seat?
Yeah, there really were. And as a matter of fact, there's a pretty interesting pattern out there on both sides. Members that were perceived of as vulnerable, you know, mostly went no, and that was whether they were Democrat or Republican. That's a pretty good indicator that most politicians understood that this was a risky vote, no matter where they were on the political spectrum. But there were some really principled people out there. A guy like Joe Nolenberg in Michigan, who's in a very tough race, literally changed his vote because he thought it was so important for the state of Michigan, which is having a lot of economic turmoil, even more than the rest of the country. So there are some real profiles and courage out there. Joe was certainly one of them. But most vulnerables on both sides tried to stay in the no column and did.
And you also got Chris Shays up in Connecticut, who was agonizing over his vote on this program.
Absolutely. And there's another guy that leads with a lot of courage. That's just Chris's you know, nature. And again, he voted yes on this. Yes, as I recall. So, again, a guy that showed a lot of guts and a lot of leadership. And I think that will actually rebound to his advantage. That's just who he is, and he's known to vote that way. He's certainly broken with his party plenty of times over the years. And Chris is very independent.
Well, did a no-no vote help some Republicans as you look at the polls, you know, in the week past?
You know, in some places it probably did, although I think mostly it just kept them out of trouble. I'll just give you an example. In my district, we probably got 3,000 or 4,000 calls and emails on this, and they ran the initial batch. The first half ran literally 13-1 against it. Second half were still negative, but not that negative or as negative. So, you know, again, that's something no member likes to go through, and you got to go home, as I did this last week, and basically explain your vote, tell people why perhaps you knew something that they didn't have a chance to know because the nature of the bill had changed very rapidly. But again, it's a high-risk vote. So the safe vote was to vote no and then hope the rescue plan passed, as it eventually did. You're not going to get much criticism for that.
Although I suspect as you were home in your district, you also heard from people who had a chance to look at their 401k statements that probably arrived within the last 10 days. And I guess for some of them, it was a real wake-up call that this isn't so much about the banks as it is about their own personal fortunes.
Absolutely right. And I think the problem is, again, though, there's still confusion because once the package was passed on Friday, of course, we had a terrific week last week, so you got a lot of, gosh, you voted for it. It didn't make things better. And I said, as I tried to explain to my voters, well, you know, we passed it on Friday. You really think things were going to happen dramatically by Monday? It's going to take a while. But, yeah, there's no question, I think, as this sort of grinds on, people do expect action as opposed to inaction out of the government. And if you can show you were willing to do that and do it decisively at a time when it wasn't popular, then over time, I think it might benefit. But again, it's a high-risk
right.
vote for a vulnerable member.
Well, Congressman, I think I've been pretty much Mr. Softy here on you, and so I think it's time to really turn the corner. How many seats are the Democrats going to take from the Republicans in the Congress?
I stay away from the prediction and game, but it's a good year for them. You know, again, it's winning a third presidential in a row is very difficult. Obviously, we've got a challenging war abroad. We've got a soft economy at home. This rescue package, which frankly, you know, the president probably deserves the most credit on because he's the one that put it out there at great expense to his party, I might add. You know, it's not those things put together don't create a pretty very good environment for you, and then you add open seats. So a good year to be a Democrat. However, I think we're going to do better than most people think. I think the presidential, frankly, is probably, you know, widened as far as it's going to, and I would expect the next 3 weeks it'll begin to narrow. And again, a lot of the battlegrounds that we're fighting in, regardless of how McCain does nationwide are in areas that he is very likely to carry. So we've got good terrain. So
one quick last question. What seat is typical, if it goes Democrat, that that's an indication of more of a debacle for you? What's a seat?
Well, you mentioned one of them in Chris Shays. That would be a very important one to watch. There's an open Republican seat in upstate New York, Tom Reynolds' seat in the Buffalo area, I think very important seat for us. There's a couple. And
great stuff. Great stuff. We got to go, but thanks so much. Oklahoma Representative Tom Coles, the chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee, talking about congressional seats this fall. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
And now headlines from Femi Okeh.
Thank you very much, John. Just coming up to 29 minutes past the hour.